Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're continuing, of course, our study of Paul's letter to his close friend and kindred spirit. And as Timothy, and this is Paul's, the last of his 13 letters. Paul is about to be put to death. He's in prison in Rome. He's writing for Timothy, and he says, come as quickly as you can. He hopes, in fact, he says, come before winter. He says, get here if you can. Why? He's writing for a couple of reasons. We've seen this already. He's writing to Timothy and said, this is how we live out our faith in a fallen world. This is what we got to do. There are truths and principles in this letter to Timothy, how to live out our faith. And then the second thing is the encouragement to stand strong for Jesus, even in persecution. And we see the same truth for us. This is what we're supposed to do. As he encouraged Timothy to stand strong, we're to do the same thing. And we see this morning, Paul reminds Timothy of how to live as those who belong to Jesus Christ. And that's us. We in this room, we have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior. We have eternal life. We want to know, how do we live? In fact, Paul gives 9 things. And we just started it a little bit last week. We just barely got going. We're going to come back and put it all together. But in verses 10 and 11, he actually gives 9 things that he did, so to speak, and says, this is my lifestyle that you followed. And we'll see it as we look at it this morning. You know, here's the great truth. We who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, we belong to God. We're to live godly lives. We're to walk worthy of the call in which we've been called. We are children of God. We are called holy ones, which means saints. We're to live as salt and light in a fallen world. We are set apart as those who know Jesus Christ and we represent him. We've been bought with a price. We're not our own. We could just go on and on. That's who we are. We're to be God. Godly men and women. But this morning, Paul says something that sometimes people, it's kind of hard to grasp, but it is this, that when we decide that we're going to live for Christ, and let me be honest with you, most Christians never get to that point. There are a lot of people who trust in Jesus Christ, they know they have eternal life, and they're going to heaven. They never get to the point where they say, look, I want my life to count for Christ. I want to stand strong. I want to live godly in a fallen world. I want to stand for Christ. When that happens, one thing we can expect, and then we can expect that since we're going contrary to the culture, we're swimming upstream, so to speak, we're salt and light in a fallen world, we can expect persecution. We can expect that people will be opposed to us. You can expect that when you stand for Christ. I mean, I think about college students all the time on that campus. When some of them stand up and say, I believe the Bible and I believe Jesus, there are people who immediately attack them. There are some of you in your offices and your businesses where you are, and you talk about what you believe about the Bible, and you believe salvation is a gift, and that you believe the Bible's God's word. And there are people who actually attack you because they say, who do you think you are, and what do you know? Well, this morning, we're going to see Paul telling Timothy, and he reminds Timothy, he says, Timothy, you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my life. You followed all this. Just remember this, when you stand strong for Christ, you can expect persecution. You can expect that people will be opposed to what you believe and what you stand for. So that's where we are. And so as we look at this section, Paul's encouraging Timothy. He's warned him already. In this section, when we started chapter 3, he warned him about the false teachers. And he said, be careful. Remember, in the last days, difficult times will come. And this is what people will be like. And we read those first 5 verses. And it's just terrible because we see our fallen world. And then he says, just remember, too, there are false teachers out there. They try to look like they're godly, but they don't. And they deny the word of God. And he talked about how they fool people and they trick people. And so then he says, now, after all of that, he said, now remember, Timothy, what you've done. And if you look at verse 10, he says, now you, Timothy, you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings. He says, you followed that. You lived that way. That's a great statement. Wouldn't you like that Paul would write about you and said, oh, by the way, you stood strong. You did this. Wouldn't that be great for him to say that? And so this morning, we're going to think about what Paul said and what he said Timothy did. And so we're going to do this. We're going to look at, first of all, in verses 10 and 11, Paul's example, how Timothy followed Paul, a godly lifestyle. And then we're going to look at the last thing. The results will be that when you live godly, you'll be persecuted. Now, we don't like that. We say, well, I don't want that. I want the first part, but I don't want the second part. Well, they go together. You can't. When you stand for Jesus Christ and you stand strong in a fallen world, there's going to be persecution. And the thing, and I don't mean this bad, but when you look at the United States, there's not a whole lot of persecution going on. You know why? Because we don't stand strong. We don't look much different than the rest of the world. We look like the fallen world. We've got to stand, and I'm not talking about being weird. You know, we always talk about being different. We're not talking about looking different, wearing different kind of clothes. We're talking about standing strong with a godly lifestyle to make an impact for Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul says. And so let's look at it. In verse 10 and 11, he said, "Now you, Timothy, you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, which all happened to me." And so there's the contrast between the lifestyle of people who followed the false teachers, because that's what he talks about. He says this, and by the way, the way it's written in the Greek when it says, "Now you followed my teaching," it's really emphatic. It means you, Timothy, you followed my teachings. And I want you to think about it. Timothy had followed the path of life set forth by Paul. There's really a contrast. You could follow the false teachers, which are going astray, which he's been talking about. You can follow this fallen world, which is lovers of self and money and boastful and arrogant and all those kind of things that we saw. You can do that, or we can stay strong and we can follow Paul and as he followed the truths from the Word of God. And that's the key. And he says, "Timothy, you followed me." And that's what we want to do. We want to follow him. So let's look at those, and we're going to go fairly quickly through that. I just want you to see it. He's first of all said, "Now you followed my teaching." Now we saw this last week, and I'm not going to go into late great detail, but Paul taught the word of God. He said, "Timothy, you followed my teaching. You followed the truths of the scripture." The word teaching means doctrine. Paul taught the Bible. He says, "You followed that." And the bottom line for us is we have to stay strong with the scripture. If you just look at things, think everything moves away from that. If you go back 40 to 50 years, most churches actually talked about the Bible and stayed true to the Bible. But now you look nowadays, they're all into something else. They're all into entertainment. The Bible is not the key. This church, the Bible must be the key. We must teach the word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired from God and is profitable. 2 Timothy 2:2, he says, "Teach, Timothy, take what I've taught you. You teach others." That's what we're supposed to do. The Bible is the key. Listen, we're not here to teach somebody's book. I've got a friend that's a pastor. I've said this before, and he's amazes to me. He went to Dallas Seminary with me, but he'll write me and he'll tell me, "I'm teaching from the pulpit Swindoll's book on the Holy Spirit." Listen, why don't you use the real book? You know, the real book's the Bible. And see, the emphasis in our church has to be the Word of God. We follow the example of Paul. What did Paul say? Preach the Word. That means teach the Word. The idea is to proclaim the truths of the Bible. And that's for every one of us. And not just for me back up here, but it's for each one of us that our lives have to be based on the truths of the Scripture. So Paul said, "Timothy, you followed my teaching." We want to do the same thing. He says, "You followed my conduct." Conduct means manner of life. He says, "Timothy, you tried to live in the same way that I've lived." And what we know is this, that Ephesians 4:1, we're to walk worthy of the calling which we've been called. We are children of God. We're to live out in this culture who we are. We are God's children. We are holy. We are set apart. We are saints. We are to shine as lights in a crooked and perverse world. That's who we are. We're to shine as lights. We're called saints. We're called holy ones. We're supposed to live it out. And sometimes you can't tell the difference between us and the world. And we want to be different. The best example or the best guard for the next generation is a godly example from this older generation. Paul said, "Be imitators of Christ." Paul actually said, "Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ." We want to live godly lives. What kind of example are we setting for our children who are coming after us? What do we look like? How are we living? What is our standard? Remember, you go back, you followed my teaching, it's the Word of God. Then he says, the third thing, you followed my purpose. My purpose. Paul talked about earlier in 1 Corinthians where he said, "I want to do nothing but preach Christ and him crucified." He says, my goal, purpose in life is to proclaim Jesus Christ and how he died and rose again and paid for sin and all of that. Tied in with that is the message and the whole thing that we're supposed to do, and we call that the Great Commission. God set us apart. In fact, I put it this way. The purpose of this church is what was given to us by Jesus and we see followed by Paul, and that is to make disciples. In Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came up and spoke saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all which I have commanded you." And we think about making disciples, it's evangelism and training. We have a purpose, the purpose of each one of you individually who know Christ, and the purpose of this local body is to make disciples. We're to lead people to Christ and then train them and equip them so they can do the same thing. The sad thing is that most Christians go through their whole life and never share their faith and never lead another person to Christ. The sad thing is that most Christians go through their lives and they never help train or equip any other believers. Think about if every one of us in this room over the next 6 months led someone to Christ, brought them in and trained them. What would this church look like? When was the last time you and I shared our faith? When was the last time you talked to someone and said something like this? Let me ask you a question. If you were to die, do you think you'd go to heaven? When was the last time you asked somebody that? When was the last, we're all afraid that what if they said, I don't know, then we're going to have to tell them, right? We're going to have to be clear on the gospel. And most of us in this room are so clear, you know that Jesus died and rose again. Tell them that Jesus died and on the cross, paid for sin and rose again. And if they will trust in him, they'll put their faith in him, they'll have eternal life. Just use John 3:16. If you say, I don't know what to say, just use John 3:16. You can lead people to Christ and then you can bring them into the body and you can help begin for them to get trained. That's our purpose. That's the purpose for each one of us individually. That's the purpose for this church. That's what it's all about. And ask yourself, and I'm asking myself, when's the last time I'm looking for opportunity? Let me tell you something that's so amazing. If you wake up and you say, Lord, give me some opportunities today to talk to someone about Jesus. Guess what? You're going to have the opportunity. So what you need, and here's what happens, is often we go through life and we're never even looking for the opportunities. There are people we see all the time that we have conversations with and we talk about this game and this, that, and this, but we never get down to the most important thing of life, and that's where is a person going to spend eternity. And if we start looking for those opportunities, and we say, Lord, give me an opportunity tomorrow to share my faith, to talk to somebody about Jesus. That's our purpose. Paul says, you follow my teaching, my conduct, my purpose. And see, that's what it is. He said, you follow my teaching. It's the word of God. You follow my conduct, which is a holy lifestyle. You follow my purpose, which is to fulfill the Great Commission. Then there's the fourth one. He says, my faith. And when the word faith there actually is faithfulness. It's the idea you follow the fact that I'm faithful. Paul was a faithful man. Paul was faithful to live his life for the Savior. We look at Paul and we go, what kind of guy was that? He is amazing. You know what Paul would say? He said, I'm no different than you are. I'm no different than you are. In fact, he says, if you list all the sinners in the world, I'm top. Worst you can be is second. He said, of all the sinners in the world, I'm top. That's what Paul said. Paul said, I persecuted and killed Christians. And by the grace of God, I got to trust in Jesus and I got to be used by him. That's how Paul would look at his life. And what are we going to say? He was faithful. We saw that Paul said he ran the race, he kept the faith, he finished his course. That's what he says. It's the end of the letter. That's why when I get to the end of the letter, you know, it almost breaks your heart when Paul says, I've done this. My life, I'm ready to be poured out. I'm ready to die. I've run the race. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. That's what he says. He's faithful. When you and I stand before Jesus Christ, what do we want to hear him say? Well done, good, and what? Faithful servant. 1 Corinthians 4:2 is required of stewards to be found faithful. That's what we're supposed to be, faithful. It didn't say famous. It said faithful. And that means wherever you are, whatever God's given you, whatever gifts, talents, and abilities God's given you, use them faithfully to live for Jesus Christ. That's all he says. That's all we ought to do. Offer our lives as living sacrifice. Let me tell you, if you have never got to the point in your life where you said to the Lord, now you're talking about people who have already put their faith in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. It costs you nothing. It is a gift. But if you got to the point in your life as a Christian that you said, I want my life to count for you. I want to go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want to do. I give you my life. I give you my gifts, talents, time, money, possessions, everything. I give it to you. Take me, Lord, and use me for your glory. Then you'll be faithful. That's what he's looking for. He says, you follow my teaching, the word. You follow my conduct, the holiness. You follow my purpose, which is fulfilling the Great Commission. You followed my faithfulness, which is fulfilling responsibility. Look what the next one is. It's patience. Now, patience, when you say patience, what do you mean? It means resting in God. It means trusting in God in the circumstances of life. The word actually means not to strike back, not to hit back. See, this is saying that when somebody does you wrong, when somebody says something bad about you, when somebody talks behind your back, the first thing you want to do is get them back. Vengeance is mine. That's what we want to say. But the Bible doesn't say vengeance is mine. Vengeance is whose? Vengeance is the Lord. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. It's easy to want to get people back. Paul says, you have to trust God in the trials of life when people do you wrong. In fact, the Bible, Paul says, never return evil with evil, return evil with good. That's hard, isn't it? Somebody says something bad about you, and then you're going to do something good for them? That's what he says to do. That's patience means you don't get them back. Paul was persecuted. We're going to talk more about it before it's over with. How do we respond when somebody does us wrong or somebody treats us evil? Do we have patience? Do we not strike back? Do we leave vengeance to the Lord? And so what we see is Paul says, you follow my teaching, the word, my conduct, which is holy, is my purpose, which is to fulfill the Great Commission, the faithfulness and my patience, which I rested in God. I depended on God to deal with that. And then there's another one, my love. See, this is not only loving God, but loving one another. That's the key. See, the Bible talks about loving God and loving others. In fact, the Bible says, or Jesus said, that they'll know you belong to me by your love one for another. See, love is doing what's best for the other person. It starts with our love for God, but then it carries over to people as well. The great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and love your neighbors yourself. Jesus said, I've changed it. I'm giving you a new commandment. You love others as I have loved you. That we love God. That's first. First is loving God. When we love God, we love people because he made the people. God loves the people. If we love God, we're going to love people. When we're not loving people, if we say, I don't like that person, I don't like this, I don't like this, guess what? Guess who we're not loving? We're not loving God. William Drummond wrote a book. It's called The Greatest of These. It was a short commentary on 1 Corinthians 13, which is, everybody calls it the love chapter, but he took it through there. I read this story the other day. I want to read it to you. It says there was this young woman who loved Jesus Christ, and she wore this heart-shaped locket about her neck. And she got really sick, and nobody ever knew what was inside the locket. And one day she got really sick, and she was very ill, and her friends were gathered around her, and she was at the hospital, and somebody actually said, what is in that locket? And she opened it up. And these were the words that were in there, little words, little things, said, whom having not seen, I love. You know who she's talking about? She's talking about Jesus. That's who her love was. Jesus said, you love others as if I have loved you. One of the keys is love one another. We did a whole thing on the one another's. You remember we did a study in our grow groups on all the one another's and pray for one another and build up one another and all the different one another's, but the overarching one another is to love one another. Paul said, you followed my perseverance. Perseverance literally means remain under the load. That's what it means. The word was used of that somebody said, can you carry this? And it was really big and heavy and you got it. And you said, yeah, how long do you want me to carry this? And said, we'll let you know. Oh, okay. And so you're standing there, and perseverance is remaining under the load. And see, what life is just one thing after another. And perseverance is keeping on, keeping on, and just keeping on going and running the race with endurance. Remember, run the race with endurance, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You remember 1 Corinthians where he says, steadfast, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Keep going. In a fallen world, there are going to be trials and issues and problems. We got to keep going and never let up. Never let up. And then two more, the last two I think go together, persecutions and sufferings. Paul said, you follow my persecutions and sufferings. And I think there's a dual meaning here. Not only does he say, you followed my persecutions and sufferings, meaning you knew what happened to me. But I think there's an aspect of saying, you expected Timothy in the same way that I was persecuted and I suffered. You followed that as well. You know, there's a great truth that Paul was told on the road to Damascus. Basically, he said, I want Paul to understand. Jesus sent word to him, you need to understand that when you believe, you'll also suffer for my account. It's amazing because he says, you followed my persecutions and my sufferings such as happened to me. And he lists some places. He lists three places. Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. This is on his first missionary journey. You remember we studied the book of Acts in Stillwater Bible, and we went verse by verse. And when you get to Acts chapter 13 and chapter 14, that's his first missionary journey. And he goes to Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. He goes to all those places. And he says, you followed what happened to me there, the persecutions and sufferings. He was beaten. He was run out of town. He was stoned. He was left for dead. Notice what it says, though. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord rescued me. What did Paul suffer? I'm going to hold this for a minute. You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul says, what kind of stuff did he go through? Listen to this. Five times he's writing to the Corinthians and he's telling them what he had gone through. And he said, five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. Now, you know what that means? They would tie a guy up, take his shirt off, take a whip with stuff on it and whip him. The most you could whip anybody was 39 lashes. Paul said, that's happened to me five times for standing for Jesus Christ. He said, three times I was beaten with rods. That's like sticks, like a baseball bat. And they just start beating you. He said, three times I was beaten up with rods. One time I was stoned. That was at Lystra. They stoned him. They killed him, drug him out of town, and left him for dead. He says, three times I was shipwrecked. A day and a night I spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys. I've been in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the cities, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. He said, I've been in labor and hardship, many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all of this stuff, the daily pressures on me for the concern of all the churches. That's what he said. Now, you think Paul went through it? A week ago, somebody gave me a bad look. And I'm all mad about it, and so I quit. Paul said, don't quit. That's not near as bad as being, you know, getting whipped five times. Being stoned, you know, being beaten with rods three times, being a day and a night in the deep, being shipwrecked two or three different times, having robbers come after you. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers. You going to stand for Jesus Christ in a fallen world? Get ready. Now, there's nothing greater than to say, I want my life to count for Christ, and I'm going to stand for Christ. And when the time comes and somebody says something, I'm going to say, I believe the Bible. I believe Jesus. I believe he's the only way. And you're going to stand, and there are going to be people maybe come after you. There's going to be persecutions. In our country, it's not necessarily the same. In there are other parts of the world, there are people who stand for Jesus Christ, and they're put to death immediately. Just remember, Paul says that he said persecutions and sufferings, but God delivered him all. How do we live godly? How do we follow Paul's example that Timothy followed? Well, we teach the word of God. We live a holy lifestyle. We fulfill the Great Commission. We fulfill our own responsibilities. We trust God and rest in him in the trials when people come after us. We love God and others. We don't quit. We keep on going. And in the persecutions and sufferings, we just trust that God will deliver us. That's what we expect. So what should we do? Look at that. Let's live it out. That's what Paul says to do. He says, do it. You got to do it. He said, Timothy, you followed it. We're saying, what are we supposed to do as Christians now? See, we see these letters, and we talked about it in Grow Group. Hey, Paul wrote these, you know, if you think the Roman letter, the Corinthian letters, the Timothy letter, and we see James and Jude and all the, what were these letters for? They were written to particular people at particular time, but the truths and principles are to be applied for the church, by the church today. So when Paul says, Timothy, you followed this, keep on going, what should we do? We should follow this and keep on going. Now he ends it, and he says this, realize that when we live this way, there's going to be persecution. He isn't saying this or writing this to discourage us. He's writing this to warn us. Look at verse 12. He says, now, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Notice what he said. If you desire to live godly in Christ, you'll be persecuted. We need to start with, what does it mean to be in Christ? That means to be in union with Christ. When you trust Jesus Christ as Savior, you're placed in Christ. And you're identified with Christ. And remember this, when you're identified with Christ, Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to what? Hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to what? Persecute you. When you stand for Christ and you're identified as one who belongs to Jesus Christ, you're going to be persecuted. And if you say, well, nobody's ever persecuted me, nobody's ever made fun of me, maybe they don't know you belong to Christ. Stand strong. Paul says, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ, when you're connected in Christ, you will be persecuted. The word persecute literally means chased after. They're going to come after you. Martin Luther said this. He said, Christ soldiers must expect hard blows. The world is contrary to us. The enemy is the devil and a fallen world system. And would the devil want us standing for Christ? No. Look at Paul. He suffered. He was put to death. Look at Stephen. He was put to death. Look at Peter. He was put to death. Look at John. They put him. They thought what they thought they would do with John. He's a really old man, and he was known as Camel Knees. That's what he was known as. That was his nickname. His first nickname was Son of Thunder because he had a temper. But toward the end of his life, he was known as Camel Knees because he prayed all the time that he had calluses on his knees. And the Roman government, because of his stand for Christ, put him out on a little island called Patmos and just left him there. And so they thought, we'll get rid of this guy. And you know what happened while he was there? He got the book of Revelation. That's what he did when he was out there. We've been called to believe in Jesus Christ and to suffer for his sake. Throughout history, those who have stood for Christ are persecuted. This is not to discourage us. It's for us to be ready and to know what to expect. So let me give you quick applications, okay? Let's follow Paul's example. Live godly lives. What do? Our teaching is the word of God. Our conduct is to walk worthy. Our purpose is to make disciples. Our faithfulness is doing what we're supposed to do. Our patience is let the vengeance belong to the Lord. Our love is loving God and loving others. Our perseverance is keeping on going. And finally, our suffering and trials is you just got to trust God. That's the key. We got to trust him. And you need to look at this passage and say, what do I need to change in my life? And here's the bottom line. Expect persecution if we do this. When we live for Christ, the world will hate us and persecute us. Expect it. Don't be surprised. Don't be discouraged. Jesus Christ says, blessed are those who are the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are those who are persecuted for my sake. That's what he said. May we follow Paul's example, living for our Savior, knowing that when we stand for Christ, there will be persecution.